your Greek friend and ours, insider for the NHL on Sportsnet, Nick Kypreos, ladies and gentlemen. Nice to see you.
Nick.
Morning, guys.
How are we? You good?
We're good.
You having coffee?
I haven't had the coffee yet today.
Are you in your office that smells like wood?
Yeah, it doesn't smell like wood anymore. It's kind of just gone. You know how you get used to it so badly that no, it smells no longer there.
Yeah. Well, listen, thanks for doing this. One of the things that we heard yesterday, which was really interesting, were Matt Barnaby reported there's tension in Pittsburgh between Mario Lemieux and Sid. Apparently they had a falling out of sorts. Rumors are rumors. Usually people, and I trust Matt. I think he's a good guy. He's smart. We've had him on the show. He's hosted with us. You know, I don't know that he'd go out of his way to say something just for the sake of saying something of relevance. Have you heard anything?
I've heard that it's not a fun place to be in that Pittsburgh dressing room to start the season. And for obvious reasons, when expectations are really high and you underachieve, it's not going to be a fun place to be around. In saying that, to extend it to Mario and Sid having a falling out or a rift or whatever word you want to use it, I don't quite buy that. And we're not talking about, you know, a typical relationship between a player and in this case, Mario being an owner. You know, not... Do you find me another player in the league that lived with his owner for 8 years? I'm not talking 8 weeks or 8 months. I'm talking 8 years. Sid's a part of that fabric of that family. I don't see a falling out. Now, in saying that, again, when expectations are low, when Sid started the season having, what, 3 goals in 20 games, obviously, there's going to be some tension somewhere. But, you know, I don't see it much more than just maybe Sid or Mario having the occasional conversation on trying different things or, you know, how about this or how about that. And that would be the extent of it, in my opinion.
Even if they don't like each other, I mean, could it mean anything? And also, second question, last night, I think he responded. I actually believe that some of these rumors had something to do with his effort last night. 2 goals, 9 shots on goal. It just ties his career high with 9 shots.
Yeah.
Did he turn it around last night?
I don't know if it was motivated because a lot of people have been saying some, you know, unflattering things about Sid's game, right? You know, he's been accused of being a perimeter player. He's been accused of not being as strong as he's been in the past or not playing with an edge, all of it. I just think that there comes a point in Sid's career where, you know, it's not as easy as it once came. You know, this is the worst slump he's had since he's probably ever put on a pair of skates. This was new to him. This is not something that it looked like he was handling particularly well, for good reason. He's never experienced it before. But again, I just don't buy the fact that you know, there's this rift or there's fight between him and Mario. Mario is not a hands-on owner anymore. He's not involved in the day-to-day operations. If Sid and Mario talked, it would be something from afar. It wouldn't be on a daily basis that would cause a rift. I just don't see it.
Nick, obviously Sid is frustrated. Is this the last kick at the can for this core?
Yeah, that's a good question. Right now, I'd probably say no. They're all locked in long term from Fleury, Letang, Malkin, Crosby, Kessel. So there's your core. So I don't know if we're going to be talking in the immediate future that one of them's got to go. You know, lost in all of this is this pending sale, which, you know, includes Mario Lemieux. So I don't think, in all honesty, that anything will happen significantly in terms of the roster changing until after a sale. The whole idea, I think, to sell a team and for X amount of dollars is that part of your acquisition is these assets of world-class talented players. I think you don't break that up and then sell the team. I think you sell the team and then have the new owners make decisions on whether they like Sidney and Malkin long term, or they say maybe we'll sell one of them off.
Nick, last night the Habs beat the Rangers impressively, but they lost Carey Price again. I don't sense that anyone, even in Hab Nation, is all that worried about him being lost.
They're going through it for a second time, right? Yeah. So that's probably the comfort zone, is that they really showed the hockey world that they're deeper than just having a great goal. And I don't know whether or not the Rangers can say the same thing. If Lundqvist went down, I think they wouldn't be as well equipped.
But we thought that last year, and Talbot stepped up last year. I mean, it's amazing sometimes what the backups are capable of.
Hey, listen, last night the Montreal Canadiens showed that they are a better team than the New York Rangers, that they're a deeper team, that they're not quite ready to hold that top position in the Eastern Conference just yet. Lundqvist has been as good as we've ever seen him in his career, and last night wasn't a good feeling getting pulled, that's for sure. So right now, Montreal is the class of the East.
Nick Kypreos, our guest, NHL Insider, brought to you by McAlpine Lincoln in Aurora. Nick, one of the subjects that has been hotly discussed, and it's funny because there's two schools of thought here. There's the school of thought that fighting is down and no one seems to have missed it. You know, it seems to have kind of worked his way out of the game. Increasingly, we've seen a few good ones. Chris Neal continues to be a pugilist, and that's one of the reasons why I love Chris Neal and the Ottawa Senators, is they don't shy away from it. But if you're like me, you miss it. And I wanted to get your thoughts on it because, you know, there was a reason why you tuned into a game before, and may have been two or three. And one of them was, hey, you knew what happened last game. That guy got the better of that guy. That guy hit their star player. So you circle the calendar, and you know on the 28th of November, this is going to be a tilt and there's going to be extra drama. I wanted to get your impression as a guy who used to play a tough game. Do you miss it?
Well, I'll tell you what I miss, Dean, is more, and it's not really the fighting, but it's the stuff around the fighting, and that's the emotion, the animosity, you know, the hatred. Just doesn't seem to be around the game consistently as it has in the past, and that's the one thing I thought in the month of October was there were a lot of bland hockey games where, you know, again, I don't think I needed to see a fight, but I just needed to see a few battles within battles. You know, God, I never thought I'd say this, but man, I miss a good face wash, you know? and just don't get to see that a lot. And, you know, the one thing I will say is at least, you know, they didn't do anything drastic with the fighting. They didn't curtail it. They didn't, you know, throw some rules around it. It's just whatever's happened has kind of happened organically. That's the players to decide whether or not they want to fight or police themselves in any way or manner. That's their decision whether they want to. I'm just glad that Gary Bettman and the league didn't, you know, put down this new fighting rule. That you're getting thrown out after a game or anything like that, or, you know, that the league didn't buckle to, you know, certain media types who want fighting out of the game. It's just, it's there. It's there if the boys want it. And, you know, apparently they don't feel like they needed a whole heck of a lot lately. But, you know, that could change too. You know, it could go in cycles here. I want to bring more emotion back into the game. That's one thing I think we've missed early in this season, is that animosity.